invited to the rehearsal dinner last night, and we, the wedding's not though until 4 o'clock this afternoon, and we finally looked at it a little bit more this week. We realized we can make it here, and especially since I wasn't speaking, it was just like I could breathe.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm really thankful that Ace was willing to share today. So Ace is going to come and speak, and we ask, I'd like to pray for you before you come up. Jesus, just thank you. Thank you that your word dwells in us, and I know that your word dwells in Ace. And I just pray that you would bless him as he comes and he speaks to us. Anoint his words. Anoint him.
Yes.
As he shares from your word. And anoint our hearts as we hear from your word.
Yes.
And we hear from your spirit.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Now I know where my breath went.
Yes.
So you could breathe again.
Hallelujah.
So, thank you for having me here today.
Yes.
I'm thankful that Art and Deb are here today with us. So, I'm new to being up here, so I'm asking for your help in audience participation today, as this isn't so much to be a sermon, but an interaction with you and your hearts and your minds and your spirits as we come before God and interact. So I'm going to call for 3 volunteers to get us going here today. First volunteer, I'd like you to stand up and do us all a favor and praise God. Oh.
Had a text, I gotta help before I move.
Good, good.
It says, come now. So.
All right. Oh.
Joshua.
Yes.
Mama.
Help me praise God.
That's
yes.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
That's how it starts. That's how it starts.
Yes.
Second volunteer, praise Jesus.
Oh.
Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And you can guess what the third request is.
Yeah.
Third volunteer, let's praise the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yeah, we had Lynette. Praise Holy Spirit.
All right, thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
This teaching was written for me. I'm sharing it with you. It's God's been working on my heart with having a better and fuller understanding of the Holy Spirit and who he is and what that means in my life. And so it is for me and sharing it with you. So I have a question for us. The question I have for us is, who is the Holy Spirit to you?
Mm.
Who is the Holy Spirit to you? It is more or less, for me, it was easy to praise God. I see God as the Father. I see him as the Almighty. I see him as the creator of all things. And that always come easy to me, and it's kind of been my focus growing up. And secondly, on the second hand, to praise Jesus came fairly equally easy. He's the Son of God. He came, he showed us the way to the Father. He gave his life to us. How easy is that to come out with praise? But the third came much more difficult to me, coming from a Baptist upbringing where the Holy Spirit wasn't at the foremost. So how do I praise the Holy Spirit? How do you praise the Holy Spirit? He's not the Father. He's not the Son. He's the Counselor. He's the Helper. So it's a little, he's not inside the family structure that we put the other two in. He comes alongside us. And Jesus was a man. We saw the man of Jesus. I mean, the people did in his day. But the Holy Spirit is not visible. He's like the wind. We see the wind blow, but we don't know visually to see the Holy Spirit. We see what he does, how he interacts with us, how that goes for us. So that doesn't, in a sense, is different to me and my understanding. So I want to spend some time giving you my testimony over the last month or so. I've given a little bit of this already. But I, with the COVID and coming, taking time off and having more time, I think it's allowed everybody who wanted to take the opportunity, had the opportunity, has the opportunity to spend more time with God. You can't go to work, a lot of us, so we're home. And so I was listening to some sermons. I was listening to some teachings on, I get a lot from YouTube, being my generation. So, and I kept listening to these ministers talk. They talked about an intimate relationship with God, an intimate relationship with Jesus, an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. I have an intellectual understanding. I have a feeling in my heart. I have a zealousness, a purpose towards God. But intimacy? Is that for the ladies of the church only? I was thinking, how do you have an intimate relationship with Jesus? Not physically, obviously, but that intimacy that comes from, like, marriage. I thought, well, maybe only the ladies can understand and head at that, because Jesus is masculine. He's, how do you have that intimate friendship? I don't have a lot of those man relationships that are that close. So for me, that was a challenge. And something for me to press into. And the next thing that came my way was teaching on how to get there. They said, one way, there's many ways, but one way to get there is to spend more time with the Holy Spirit. Spend more time in prayer with the Holy Spirit. And I was challenged to spend 30 minutes a day in that. I don't do a lot of talking, so I don't have a lot of talking in my prayer time. That challenge just hit home for me, and that goal of having that intimacy, that connection, that different thing that others had that I wanted. So I did that, and I do that. I didn't have a prayer closet in my house, as Jesus said, but when you pray, go into a private place and do that. So I had my vehicle. I spent a lot of time with my job and my vehicle. So I would just put on the music loud and spend that time getting close to God. And while I was doing that, I came to a new place spiritually with the Holy Spirit, and where I was able to flow with tongues that I had not been able to flow with in the past.
Wow.
I had been anointed for that a decade or so before and given a muttering, but I had not been able to have that connection. So that has come to me, and I've been walking in that.
Awesome.
And so I thought this would be a good topic for today, because that's what's going on in my life, is the Holy Spirit. And I thought, oh, I could talk about the Holy Spirit. And I said, yeah, so let's dig in and find out who the Holy Spirit is and try to do a teaching on him, or on the Holy Spirit is in my mind. And then I dug into some more resources and I discovered something new. I discovered that the Holy Spirit isn't just power.
Yes.
Holy Spirit isn't just dunamis.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit is a person.
Yes.
And that struck me. I've never thought of him as a person. I probably have been taught that, but I've never hit home to me. So this was another step in my journey to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person that I could get to know, just like I wanted to get to know Jesus. I could get to know the Spirit that was going to show me who Jesus is.
Yeah.
As a person. So that's my heart and my desire right now. So who is the Holy Spirit to you? If the Holy Spirit is power and dunamis, power I think of as electricity, right? Don't grab that wire because you'll be getting the full force of it, right? So how do you praise electricity, something that power? Maybe power is an explosion. We just saw that explosion that took place that 100 people died. You can't, I mean, if there's an explosion and you're happy about the explosion, you could cheer after the explosion, right? But how do you praise that power that is not working before it starts working? How do you enter into that before it manifests? And I think that is by seeing him as a person. Instead of going after the manifestations of the Holy Spirit,
yes.
I'm challenged right now to go after the person,
yes,
of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so Philandra.
Help me out there. Thank you. So who's the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? Let's just start Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. If we're made in the image of God, and God is in three persons, are we not spirit also? Are we not soul and body?
Yes.
Genesis 3:7, talking about Adam and Eve, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. This is kind of a strange thing to bring up, talking about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit shows us when we're in not the right fellowship with God. He shows us, points us in the direction. And when something is out of alignment, is not the Holy Spirit there to say, hey?
Yes.
And give us that?
Yes.
Back to the power of the Holy Spirit. Was not the Holy Spirit there at the parting of the Red Sea, putting up the waters so that the children of Israel could pass through?
Yes.
Was not the Holy Spirit there upon Samson as his mighty works of strength, grabbing the gates of a city and taking them up on the next hill?
Mm.
Wasn't the Holy Spirit there at the destruction of the walls of Jericho where the children of Israel marched around the city and said nothing, waited on him, and at the right time they shouted and the walls came down?
Mm-hmm.
David knew the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit was on his king. And God took his Holy Spirit from his king, and mm-hmm. David saw it in his courts. Mm-hmm. He saw the Holy Spirit depart from him, and the Holy Spirit was upon David.
Mm-hmm.
And David says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Genesis chapter 11, verse 7. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language. Here we see God speaking. And from the past, I thought, no, God, the Holy Spirit, or maybe God and Jesus. But here I see the Holy Spirit, because he's involved with languages we see in Acts. So I'm seeing the Holy Spirit being involved in the confusion of the language. And with language again, I jump to Numbers 22, thinking about Balaam's donkey. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, who is the Holy Spirit to you? Who is the Holy Spirit to you? Now in Jesus' day, the Holy Spirit, we read in Mark chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, Jesus' baptism. Jesus came to his baptism, and after he was baptized, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And immediately, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Then in Mark chapter 1, verse 23, we see Jesus casting out unclean spirits. Now the Holy Spirit is in him. He's working. This is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
In Mark chapter 1, verse 29 and following, we show that Peter's mother-in-law is healed. She was sick. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus healed her. Who is the Holy Spirit to you? Mark chapter 5, verse 25 and following, there's a woman with the issue of blood. And she had faith to be healed, and she said, if I could just touch his garments in this crowd, I can be healed. And immediately, Jesus, saying, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned and looked for the woman. Who is the Holy Spirit to you? In the early church now, after Jesus has gone up to heaven, we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days. Acts chapter 2, verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house.
Amen.
Acts chapter 2, verse 17, speaking of the prophecy that Joel gave in Joel 2:28. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Who is the Holy Spirit to you? Acts 2, verse 43. Then the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Just as Jesus did many wonders and signs, the apostles did, because Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Who is he to you? Peter heals the lame man in Acts chapter 3. And then the wonderful sermon that we get in Acts chapter 7 about Stephen. Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gazed into heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
And he saw Jesus sitting at the right hand of God.
Yes. Yes, he's a witness. Yes.
So what about today? I'm here to tell you the reports of the demise of the Holy Spirit are false.
Amen. That's right.
I grew up in a wonderful Baptist church, and they had a wonderful youth ministry. And I was able to participate in gatherings, you know, local gatherings, regional gatherings. And once I got to go to a national youth gathering in California, not too close from where I grew up in Idaho. And some speaker snuck in somehow. Maybe because it was California. And he told us Baptist youth out there that there was a Holy Spirit and he's powerful and he's living today and this is what he can do in your life.
Yes.
Amen.
And I grabbed a hold of that and I took it back to my pastor and we sat down and they said, Pastor, look at what I learned. Because I haven't heard it here. I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. And he said, that wasn't for them. It's not for today. And I knew in my spirit that he was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew in my spirit that he is alive today.
Amen.
And that what I heard was true, and I wasn't going to let it go.
Amen.
I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't have any teaching on it. I hadn't anybody to teach it to me. But I knew what truth is. I knew
yes.
what truth was.
Yes.
And
yes.
the truth that I got back then is the same truth today, the same in the Old Testament, the same in Jesus' day,
that's right.
the same today.
Amen.
God did not repent and take back his gift.
That's right.
Who is the Holy Spirit to you? The Holy Spirit still heals today.
Yes.
Yes.
The Holy
does.
Spirit still convicts.
Yes. Yes. It convinces.
The Holy Spirit gives visions and dreams.
Yes.
Yes.
This is what Joel was talking about. This was for our day.
Yes.
Who's the Holy Spirit to you? The Holy Spirit still instills power to the powerless. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit still moves in tongues of men and of angels.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit still gives words of knowledge and wisdom.
Yes.
And he still does miracles.
Yes.
Prophecy.
Yes.
Who is the Holy Spirit to you? He edifies, he exhorts, and he gives peace. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 13 if you want to join me. It's going to be a longer verse. Verse 11. Paul has a wonderful teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 on the Holy Spirit. And chapter 13 is talking about love.
Yes.
But he's still talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
When I was a child, I spoke as a child.
Yes.
I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but when I shall know just as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, the greatest of these is love. I was thinking I could teach on the Holy Spirit, and I thought, well, I don't know much. I need to go in and pull some more out. And then I said, oh, I got some confidence I can do this teaching. And then I realized he's a person. And I go, well, I obviously don't know much about him at all. Because I'm just getting this revelation now. And then I said, well, maybe I'll go and do some more, hear some more sermons and find out who this person is. And I found out that the great people who have moved in the Holy Spirit would say, I don't know how to tell you. I don't know how to describe to you this great person of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I wish that I could.
Yes. Yes.
So I said, okay, I'm in good company then.
Yes.
If they can't, how could I? So the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus to you. He will
yes.
come to you if you spend time with him.
Yes.
Who is he? Go find out.
Yes.
Come and see.
How do I describe him to you? I can't. You must experience him.
Yes.
Can you draw me his picture? I can't draw it for you. Do you know his voice?
Mm-mm.
Spend time with him and
yes.
know his voice.
Yes.
Do you wait on him as many have waited on him in the past? Do you quench him? Let us all praise the Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
God's love is abundant. God's love is fantastic
yes.
and marvelous, and the Holy Spirit wants us to know that.
Yes.
He wants us to be in love with God the Father, Jesus, the Messiah.
Yes.
And he is our counselor, our director, our
yes.
helper in doing that.
Yes.
I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit on me. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here. I know that he's in me. I know that he is in those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ
Amen.
For salvation in their heart. That
Amen.
He can come upon you in a new way.
Yes. Amen.
Today, this Shabbat.
Yes.
Yes.
Later in your quiet place. This week. This month, this year, today, right now, let us all praise God, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise you, Holy Scripture. Praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. You have taken away your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God, of our salvation. Cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, O Lord, your chesed. Grant us your salvation. I will hear what the Lord God will speak, for he will speak shalom. He will speak peace to his people and to his saints. Let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. That's Psalm 85.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, Maria, we got Don coming.
We do praise you, Lord. We praise you. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus.
This kind of puts an exclamation point.
Flip the mic up. There you go.
I think this could say it all in Matthew 12, 30, 31, and 32. He who is not with me is against me. This is Jesus speaking. And who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, and sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or age to come. Jesus is saying this. Doesn't have to say too much more than that. You can blaspheme the Father and the Son, but you best not do that to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Spoken. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your empowerment. Thank you that you empower us to love. You empower us to know you. You empower us in all the giftings. You empower us to be one with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Ha 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 ha. There's joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I guess I have a couple of footnotes. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think. But, you know, one of the things that we pray about is that God would fill us and that he would have sway in our body, soul, and our spirit.
Yes.
And sometimes one of the places that we have the most trouble yielding is in our soul and in our mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Our minds often can be a hindrance. Because we're inveterate thinkers. That's what we are. And when the Holy Spirit moves in us, he influences even our thinking.
Yes.
And
yes.
So we have to be willing to yield our thinking and our reasoning. And so therefore, sometimes things of the Holy Spirit don't make sense to our reasoning.
Yes, right.
And so we have, are we going to yield to the Spirit or to our reasoning? Okay. And God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
Yes, they are.
His ways
yes,
are higher
they
than
are.
Our ways.
Amen.
I want to say a footnote in reference to a lot of times people have I think sometimes the tech doesn't like me in particular. but sometimes we can be in, we can take something and we can be overly in fear over things. And, you know, a lot of times we're afraid sometimes that we cross a line. And really, God is incredibly gracious.
Yes, he is.
And we have to be careful with what we do. And I think it's easy for us to get into a critical or a negative attitude towards things of the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to say something about the context of the passage of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees were saying that what Jesus did, where Jesus was 100% moving with the Holy Spirit, they were saying that was of the devil.
Yes.
Okay. In other words, Jesus was the absolute pure word of God, God in the flesh, and they were saying that was of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Most of what we see, and I want to be careful how I say this, is that we're a mixed bag.
Yes, we are.
Okay, and even when the Holy Spirit moves in one of us, we're still a mixed bag. God is being gracious and moving through us. Mm-hmm. So we could potentially be critical of something in our brother, not that we ought to be critical, but it could actually be them, not the Holy Spirit. Okay, and so, you know, we don't experience normally the absolute clarity that the Pharisees were seeing in Jesus himself. And then one more footnote, which is
so relevant in terms of the Holy Spirit. And in some ways, even especially here at Sanctuary Messianic. You know, the theological argument, the main argument, is considered what's known as cessation or continuance. Did the Holy Spirit cease with the apostolic era, or did it continue? And I actually believe, and I'm not about to do a study on this at the moment, but I believe that there's another explanation that isn't often talked about. And however, people recognize that when the gospel began to go through in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit was verifying the message of the gospel amongst the Jewish people. In other words, the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and continuing, even when it fell on the Gentiles, was evidence to Israel that this was the real thing. And it seems that as the message went to the rest of the world, and the message seemed to fade in the Jewish community, it seems like historically the manifestation of the Holy Spirit sort of started to fade somewhat. Because in the book of Acts, it was a testimony to Israel.
Amen.
Of the reality of the gospel. Something started to happen at the late 1800s.
That's right.
Okay. There started to be a return of the Jewish people to the land. There started to be the first Messianic congregations, the first Jewish missions were in the late 1800s. You following me? Late 1800s, it's like 1898 or 1888, the American Board of Missions to the Jews was founded.
That's right.
The first pioneer village in Israel was in 1908 of European settlers. What happens in the middle of that? An outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Azusa Street.
Yeah.
Okay. There's this, there seems to be this parallel. And I remember reading about Azusa Street.
Mm-hmm.
A Jewish man walked into it to find out what was going on. And he walked in and got saved.
Amen.
Amen.
And so